right now. We praise your name, Lord.
Greater than our power, and he is able and mighty to do absolutely anything far beyond what we can imagine or think. And as my mind was shifted towards this next service, and as I was praying, God wants to do so much more with somebody with a thankful heart. He desires to do so much in our lives. He desires to do so much in our services, but you offer a thankful heart. He goes, this is what I've been doing, but you offer a thankful heart, I'm going to do way much more. So before we go any further, if we could just thank God that we have a God that hears our prayers. We have a God that has heard our prayers, and we have a a God right here, right now, that is poised to respond to the prayers of his people. Lord, your power and your presence is so mighty in this place, and you're ready to move. You are off your throne. You're walking up and down these aisles. You are here right now, Lord, to reach out and to touch somebody if they would just respond to you in faith. Hallelujah. Lord, you're the God that has heard every prayer and every cry. Those ones that were in secret and nobody else is around, you've heard those prayers. You're the God that hears prayers, Lord. And your God is faithful. If anybody, is there some names we can put up on the board that we're going to pray for right now? For Sister Doris Atkins and Brother Day, Sean Frederickson. Still remember to pray for Easton, for Spencer, right now for Brother Davis. And for the ones that are traveling, the Kellums, he's going to be busy today with the roads in the city that he lives in. We're just going to lift these needs up before him. And if you have a need right now, Sister Lauren talked about being in she was paralyzed by fear by the skunk that was standing by her door in the first session. We are in the house of God right now. Nothing should paralyze you from where you're at to where God wants to do something here. You're already in the house of God. Maybe you just need to step out in faith. Maybe you just need to activate your faith right now. And God will activate a blessing and pour out a blessing in your life. I'm anticipating. My heart's beating out of my chest. It's been beating out of my chest for the past few minutes because God's power and presence is here and poised and ready to do something. In Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord together.
Thank you. just, I'm okay here. I'm just going to be here. I'll come to church, but I'm going to stay in my box. I'm going to stay in my boundary, and this is what I'm comfortable with. But the presence of God wants to just break those walls down. Just say, just get in my presence. Forget about your barriers. Forget about your walls. Forget about the box you place yourself in, and just let God touch you today. Amen. Let's just lift up our hands and thank Him for what we feel today. God, I thank You, Lord, that Your presence is here to do something specific. That each and every person needs Your Spirit to do something today. God, and You, and only You, have the ability to touch, to speak. God, speak into someone's heart right now. God, let them know that You're here, God, not to just bombard them, God, but just to move into their life. God, I pray, touch them. In Jesus' name. A few announcements for the week. At this point, we are still planning on having prayer tonight, but we are going to watch the weather this afternoon. I know, depending on the report you've seen, it's snowing now. We just don't know what it's going to look like, but we will plan on having prayer. If something changes, have your phone, check your text, check your email. We will send out a message, but we are planning on having prayer tonight at 6. This Wednesday night, we'll have worship in the Word at 7. There was going to be a special youth announcement about the offering. However, Spencer isn't here, but I do know the men are currently ahead in the youth offering. So, men, give it up for yourselves. If you were here for first service, you heard my wife. So sad, so pitiful, just pleading for you to put money into the pink basket. Don't do that. Don't. I know she's pretty. I know you felt bad for her, but just go ahead and give her all the change, but the dollar bills could go into the blue basket. But any money you can give goes to our youth, going to youth convention, and it is worth the cause. This Thursday, the men will be going, if they're able, going to the Chicago Auto Show downtown. They'll be leaving at 7 a.m. to have breakfast and then head downtown and spend the day at the auto show. If you're able to go and have any questions, check with Brother Billy Kellum. Reach out to him this week, and he'll be able to answer them. Everybody say Friday, February 21st, Connections Game Night. We'll be having a game night. If you were a lady, you got to be a part of the Ladies Connection service yesterday, and I heard that was an awesome, awesome time. I knew it was scheduled to go 11 to 1, and my wife came home at about 3:30. So something about ladies just getting together just got a lot to talk about, I guess. The men's one probably would have lasted 22 minutes, and we just sat there looking at each other. But we will have a Connections game night, and it is going to be exactly what we're advertising. It's a game night. It'll be here at the church at 7 p.m. We're going to spend some time in fellowship. Bring your games. If you know the Grimms, you know that they have special games planned. They will go to their game closet and bring some games. But if you have a game that you like playing, if it's a card game, if it's a board game, if it's checkers, whatever it is, we will find someone to play with you. If no one has ever understood the rules of your game, I have a game in mind that I want to play with somebody with. We will take the time and explain those, and it's just going to be a time of fellowship and also a time to invite somebody, invite your connection. Just let them know that we're getting together and we're just playing games. So it'll be a good time Friday the 21st at 7 p.m. Wednesday, February 26th, coming up in a couple of weeks, we'll have our First Apostolic Church annual business meeting that Wednesday night. So if you make plans to be here, we will discuss the business of the church and the financial situation. That'll be Wednesday, February 26th. Saturday, March 7th, it was on the screen earlier, but we will be having our pastoral installation service here that evening at 5 p.m., Everyone is invited. You are welcome. We'll have a choir singing at that. We'll have other ministry going on that night, and it's just going to be a good time of fellowship. We'll have refreshments afterwards. You are welcome to be here. This is as much a church installation as it is I don't like the title pastoral installation. It is a church installation. It is something that we are doing together, and we would love it if you guys were a part of that. The last thing, I know, actually, you can be seated for this this announcement, but we've been doing, over 2019, you've been doing the BREAD program, the Bible Reading Enriches Any Day program. And it is a program that we have pamphlets in the back, but basically it's reading through the Bible in a year. You take a couple chapters at a time and you just slowly, over 365 days, you read through the Bible. And when you do that, for those of you that have participated in that, you know what my wife was saying is true this morning. You activate the Word in your life. Having the Bible is good. It looks good sitting on a shelf. You can have 7 different volumes. You can have a study Bible. You can have the original Greek. You can have all of these fancy Bibles. But if you don't read it, if you don't activate it, it's just any other book. It's just pages and words if it's sitting on a shelf. But when you open up the Bible and begin to read God's Word, there is power, there is anointing. Your life can be changed by reading the Word. And so we want to celebrate this achievement. We have a stack, and I know some aren't here, but we're going to call out these names, and we invite you to come forward. We're going to take a group picture together. So as you come, we'll hand you one and just kind of line up and face everybody and show off your hardware. So we're going to ask Sister Joella Day if she would come. I don't have what translation they read or any other information. I'm just assuming it was the Bible. I'll do this. I'll come to you halfway. And we're doing individual pictures as well. That has to watch me do a fake smile over the next minute or two. Brother Jay Grimm. I will stand on a step higher than. Oh, yeah. Brother Mike Duell. Tom Crager. Sister Andrea Crager. Greg Peterson. And I think these next two, we will honor and recognize them, but Brother Gary Piles is out of town today. Brother Spencer Underwood is not feeling well today, but we do want to recognize them. And Sister Darlene Grimm. Sister Lauren Johnson. Just imagine that there's music playing and it's very pretty. What? Brother Titus Johnson. And then unfortunately, Brother Wayne Kellum and Brother Billy Kellum couldn't be here today either, but we do want to recognize them. So this is your, I don't know how else to say that, but your 2019 BREAD program group. So it is something. Clearly, we are already into 2020, but we do have the bread program back there. It is not too late. Even if you started today and you finished in February of 2021, there's no shame. This isn't meant to be anything about look at what we've done and you haven't done. It's not what this is. This is the opportunity that the church can get involved with reading His Word. It's really, when they break it down, typically it's two or three, maybe four chapters a day. A lot of times, I didn't read that particular program, but I read another program, and it's typically two or three Old Testament chapters and then one or two New Testament chapters, and sometimes a psalm sprinkled in there. So they do it intentionally, so that way you're not just stuck in Leviticus, reading the Begats or the Chronicles, which sometimes can get difficult and get overwhelming. You know, it moves through the Bible fairly well. It is God's Word. If you're going to read anything, if you're guilty like me, you'll read Facebook. You'll scroll on Facebook or you'll scroll on whatever news site. You'll scroll whatever and you'll hear all the world has to offer. I think it'd be good, even if you read it from your phone, scroll through the Bible and read what God has to offer. And that will enrich your life. Amen. Amen. If we could stand, we're getting ready to go into a time of meet and greet. But I do want to recognize, it is so good to have Sister Alice, Sister Mia, and Sister Lauren here today with us. You guys know them better than I do, I'm sure, but it is very cool to see a Lauren Paris, which, for those of you that don't know, my wife was Lauren Paris before I stole her away and made her Lauren Johnson, but even spelled the same way with two R's, it's just... they're basically twins. You can't even tell them apart. But it's so good to have them here today. And also good to see my friend Ray and Kim. So glad that you guys are here with us today. Amen. Amen. Well, now we're going to go into a time of meet and greet. Why don't you just get out in the aisle, shake someone's hand, hug someone's neck, and tell them that you're glad to be here today. Thank you. As you're making your way back to your seats, if we could remain standing, our ushers are going to get in position to take up today's tithe and offering. And we're going to put the declaration on the screen. And I was talking with somebody the other day, and I know this is different, especially if you've never done this before. It's different. I think I've said it before, this isn't some magical prayer that you pray and all of a sudden you have $1 million in the bank account. Trust me, I've tried. But what it is just us, like my wife said this morning, you know, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. And too often we look at the bank, we look at our finances, and we say, I got nothing. Man, how am I going to make ends meet? I'm so overwhelmed. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And this is just an opportunity for us today to speak His word over our finances, to take whatever our offering is, whatever our tithe is, and say, God, we're giving this to you upon the authority of your word. So we're going to say this together, and we declare it. This isn't a weak prayer. This isn't a limp prayer. We believe that God hears every prayer, and so we speak these words boldly to Him. So let's say this together. Upon the authority of Your word, I have given, and it shall be given unto me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I am a tither, and I bring my offerings to the house of the Lord. I bring them today into the storehouse. Therefore, the enemy is rebuked, the curse is broken, and I live under an open heaven. We receive jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commissions, benefits and settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off, debts demolished, and royalties received. I and my whole family am blessed and walking in the favor of God. I have health and abundance, and I am blessed coming in and going out in Jesus' name. Amen. Give unto the Lord this morning.
Thank you.
Just think about him for a moment. How wonderful is he? How glorious, how beautiful, how kind, how majestic is our Savior today. When he offered you salvation, he offers you love, he offers you peace, he offers you joy, he offers you hope. Only he can give you those things. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you today. We praise you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to turn our attention to the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5 says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." The very word that Jesus uses there when he says he marveled is thamazo, and it means to be taken aback, to be astonished, to wonder. Almost any time you see the word marveled in Scripture, it's in a crowd's response to the miracle that Jesus had just performed. Matthew 8, 26, a familiar passage. It says, "He said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? He arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Almost every time when the word marvel is used, it is talking about people marveling at Jesus. But in our text today, we get to see the rare time that Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, the creator of the universe, steps back and marveled at what little man could do. Even the winds and the waves obey him. He is marvelous, but in this scenario, we see Jesus marvel at a man. I want to speak to us for a few moments today. What makes Jesus marvel? Why don't you put your phones and Bibles down and let's just ask God to move. He's already been here today, but we need more of him right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for what we feel today. And I pray right now that every distraction has to leave. Every other thought, every thought of lunch, put it aside. Every thought of the snow, put it aside. God, let us be intentional for the next few moments. Let us get what you're trying to say, and I pray that your word would go forth, that you would take it once it leaves my mouth, and you would move it wherever it needs to go. Direct it today. I let it fall on good soil. Prepare our hearts to hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This passage that we see today deals with the story of this centurion and his servant. And to better understand the context of this story, I want to take just a moment and look at this particular centurion. We don't know much about him. This is really the only passage that we see him. We don't even know his name. We just know the description of him. He's a centurion. That means he's a Roman. That means that he has at least 100 underneath him. That means that he is a Gentile. He is not a Jew. He would be responsible for keeping the peace there in Capernaum where this takes place. He would help the tax collectors, like someone like Matthew, collect the tax upon the Jews. Jews and Romans, Jews and Gentiles didn't exactly get along. They weren't friendly. There was a disdain for each other. They didn't enjoy each other. Any Gentile from the Jewish perspective would be labeled as unclean. They would label them as sinful. They wouldn't really fellowship with each other, Romans and Jews or Gentiles and Jews. There was supposed to be a divide between them. But in this particular centurion, we find in Scripture had shown kindness to the Jews. He had shown them kindness that most Roman centurions would not have shown. And Luke writes about it in his version in the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 2. This is talking about the same centurion, but he said, "A certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." When Luke tells the same version, the Jewish leaders are speaking on behalf of the centurion. It's not a face-to-face the way Matthew writes it, but the Jewish leaders are literally speaking on behalf of a Gentile, which if you know any bit of biblical history at this time, was very out of the ordinary. No Jew would go speak on behalf of a Roman to plead with Jesus to come meet him. But it sheds a light on the centurion's character, that his servant is sick. It doesn't say his child is sick. It doesn't say that his wife is sick. His servant is sick. His servant is in pain. He is going out of his way just for a servant to get Jesus' help because he has a need. And he realized that his position as a Roman centurion, his position, his level of authority does not supersede the fact that he was in the presence of a miracle worker. He lowered himself. He humbled himself. See, not only did the Jews see themselves above the Romans would see themselves above the Jews. And so it was a situation where both saw themselves as a higher level than the other person. But this Roman humbled himself and said, "There is a need that is bigger than me, so I will lower myself and go to the one that can heal and go to the one that can touch." The lowering of yourself still gets Jesus' attention. Humbling yourself still gets the attention of Jesus. Coming to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, I have a need. Jesus, I need you to step in. Jesus, I need you to help," still gets his attention. I know that we in America especially, we in society are supposed to look like we have it all together. You're supposed to look like I'm in a position of authority. I am at a higher level. I don't need anybody. That's what we're supposed to do. But we need to realize that when our need supersedes our pride, that the only thing we can do is find Jesus. My need has to outweigh what society tells me is the appropriate way to act. See, everything that we do on a Sunday goes against what society says is normal. Coming to a place, the ladies, the way you dress, men, the way you act, goes against what society says is normal. Coming to a church, crying, showing emotion, getting on your knees, appearing weak, admitting that you need something, putting your trust in a God that you've never even seen before, goes against everything society stands for. But what society doesn't understand is that when you have a need that's bigger than you, When you have a situation that's beyond you, the only thing you can do is kneel. The only thing you can do is cry out. The only thing is that you can make yourself humbled and lower yourself and put yourself in a vulnerable position and put your trust upon a God that you've never seen before. Stand up upon His Word. Stand upon the Word of God, even though you weren't there when it was written. Even though it takes faith. But that's all you can do. And the centurion, he begins this plea in Matthew 8, verse 6. He says, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And then it says, Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. There's two very important things to note in this passage of Scripture. The first thing is that Jesus said he will come. He will go into a Gentile's home. If you look at the time, Jews did not go into Gentiles' homes. They would not cross into their home. They kept a strict barrier. They did not fellowship with one another. And it was a home of someone who wouldn't be religious, a home of someone that doesn't have it all together. It would be the home of someone that doesn't live the way you and I live. They are different. They don't come to church. They don't call upon God. It's a lower class. They don't have the religion and relationship that we do. But Jesus says, I will come. But not only does he say he will come, he says, I will heal him. He doesn't say, I will pray with him. I will sit with him and talk. He says, I will heal him. Oftentimes, Jesus, if you see in any other passage and stories where people are pleading to get Jesus to come, I'll get there. He takes his time with Lazarus. He waits 3 days for Lazarus to be dead. But in this scenario, someone says, Jesus, I need you. And he says, I will come and I will heal him. And he will do this for a Gentile. Why? Why for a Gentile? Why would he do such a thing? I mean, it's an unspiritual house. It's an unclean house. Why would Jesus do this? He would do it for the simple reason because he was invited. See, because Jesus doesn't need you to have it all together. Jesus doesn't need your house to look like my house or look like my wife's house. He doesn't need you to have everything fixed. Jesus just needs you to invite him into your house. And once you invite him, he will come and he will heal. Once you say, Jesus, come here, once you say, Jesus, please come to my home, he will accept your invitation and he will step into your life. And once Jesus steps into your life, he comes for one intention, and that's to heal, that's to restore, that's to save, that's to do whatever you need him to do. If you would just invite him, he will come. It doesn't say he'll think about coming. An invitation is given, and Jesus always accepts his invitations. He always RSVPs on time. You never have to track Jesus down and say, you're coming or not. Do you want the chicken or the fish? I mean, are you coming? Jesus, I mean, he sends it as soon as he gets it. Nobody does that. And he uses his own stamp. He doesn't even use your stamp. But if you invite him into your home, if you invite Jesus into your heart, I know your heart isn't perfect. Either is mine. Either is, your heart doesn't have to be perfect for Jesus to make a home there. It just has to be open. Once it's open, he'll come in and he'll clean it out. He'll establish his home. He'll make it what it needs to be. That's what Jesus does if you invite him. And so the centurion responds to this thing where he says, I will come and I will heal him. And, you know, if you've ever been probably like us, you know, you tell somebody, you should come over and have dinner sometime. That'd be great. You know, let's put a date on the calendar and let's do that. And then they turn to you and say, well, I'm free tonight. Well, and you immediately think, well, the laundry's not done, the dishes are in the sink, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you think, well, I'm not really ready for that to come in. And that's okay. And the centurion kind of responds, not because it wasn't clean, but because he knew that he wasn't worthy. He wasn't ready for Jesus to step into his home. And so he responds and says, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. I'm not even worthy that you would set foot in my house. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He follows it up, and he says, I am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. The scripture, that word, thamazo, he's taken aback. He's astonished at this man's faith. It says, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Because the Roman commanders, they would see themselves above the Jews. He would see himself even above Jesus. Jesus was just a Jew in their eyes. But he saw something special in Jesus. And he humbly tells Jesus, I'm not even worthy for you to enter into my home. I'm not even worthy for you to set foot into the precipice of my home. Just simply speak the word and my servant will be healed. All it takes for you, Jesus, is to speak the word and he will be healed. And to further establish Jesus and to further humble himself, he follows it up in verse 9. He level sets in verse 9. And if you're not careful, it can come across what he says as he's trying to position himself as one of authority. When he says, for I am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. And it could look like he's trying to say, just come, I'm not even going to allow you into my house. Here's my credentials. Here's how good I am. I have 100 men that serve under me. I say go, they go. I say come, they come. That's what it could look like that he's trying to tell Jesus here. But what he's actually saying is that I am a man of physical authority. I have authority over man. And if I speak the words, they have to listen to me or they have to do what I say. But then he further lowers himself and he confesses that Jesus Christ's authority is higher, it supersedes the authority over man, that Jesus has the authority over disease and sickness, that if you speak to sickness, go, it has to go. If you speak to disease, go, it has to flee. He's telling Jesus, simply upon the authority of your word, like my authority as a soldier, you have authority over every spirit, over every demon, over every single thing. That's how high your authority is. And when Jesus hears that, that's what makes Jesus marvel. That this unlearned, this untrained, he wasn't a Jewish priest or prophet. He wasn't a rabbi. He didn't know the Old Testament prophecies of who Jesus would be, that he recognized him not just as Jesus the man, but as Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Son of the Most High God, God manifest in flesh. He recognized that this is the man that has power over everything, and that's what makes Jesus marvel, and that's still what makes Jesus marvel today. You realizing who Jesus is. You realizing that Jesus is the Most High God, that he has authority over every sickness, he has authority over every fear, over every doubt, over every worry, over every demon, over every situation. Recognizing that he is God on the throne, having faith not in who you are, but having faith in who he is. The faith that says that although everything around me is falling apart, still I will trust you. Although everything is breaking down around me, still I will believe in you. Jesus, if you speak the words, my family will be restored. Jesus, if you speak the words, my body will be healed. Jesus, if you speak into my life, my situation will be taken care of. That's what makes Jesus marvel. Jesus doesn't marvel at your talents. Jesus isn't impressed at your abilities. Jesus isn't flabbergasted with your things that you've done at your job, with your promotion. Jesus could care less about your promotion. But what Jesus looks down at heaven and he nudges his angels and he says, look at my servant. They're going through a storm. They're struggling. And yet they still believe that if I speak the word, I will show up. Look at everything that is going wrong in their life. Look at all the bad that has taken place, but yet they still trust me. They still believe in me. I am astonished at their will, at their grit. I want Jesus to get Michael and Gabriel and say, look at everything. You know what Titus has gone through. You know the difficulties he's had. You see that, and he still believes. Wow. What faith. What a faith in me. Wow. Well, he believes that if I just speak the word, he's not even asking me to send angels. He's not even praying, God, change my situation. He's just saying, God, if you speak the word, it'll be done. If you speak the word, that's the kind of faith Jesus is looking for. The faith that you look at your situation and it looks big, it looks bad, it looks overwhelming, but you say, God, you speak the word and this situation is done. This mountain is removed. This sickness is over. God, speak the word. Speak the word. That's what makes Jesus marvel. I mean, that's the only time, that's one of the only times we see Jesus taken aback and shocked at what we've done. Nothing else we will ever do will impress Jesus. Your worship may be grand, and I hope it is grand, but the scripture doesn't say he marveled at worship. You may give all of your money financially to the kingdom of God, and that's great, and I know God will bless you, but that doesn't say that's what Jesus marveled at. But when he saw faith in who he was, and humbling of himself, and faith that God can speak to a need, Jesus marveled. Matthew 8:13 says, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. His servant was healed in that self same hour. Jesus will treat all of us according to this rule. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. If thou can believe great things of him, thou shalt receive great things of him. If thou think him to be good, great, and mighty, thou shalt find him to be good, great, and mighty. If thou can conceive greater things of him than anyone else has ever done, thou shalt find him to be equal to all of your ideas, to all of your conceptions, to all of the grand things that you need him to be. Your greatest faith shall surpass your greatest need. Whatever your greatest need is, if you have more faith than that need, it is going to surpass it every single time, and God is always going to step in and move. Matthew 9:27 says, when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. And then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. He said, do you believe that I can do this? Do you have faith enough for your miracle? And they said, we do. And he said, be it unto you according to your faith. Wherever your faith is, God is equal to the task. He is equal to match up to wherever your faith lies. You ever meet anybody that has little bitty faith and they talk about a little bitty God? They say, well, if God would help, if God would do this, and like my wife talked about meeting somebody in the bathroom every Sunday at church, I'm just in it again. This time it's the cat. Got to get shots for the cat. And if God would only touch, if God would only move, and if God. But then you talk to another person that has a great deal of faith, and when they talk about God and the situation, they say, it's when God. Well, when God shows up, God's going to show up. When he does it, I believe God is going to do it. When he fixes the situation, when he works, when, it's not a matter of if. See, with God, there is no if. Your faith cannot be at an if God. You need to be a when God kind of faith. When God shows up, when God restores my family, when God heals my body, when God. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. I believe. I don't serve an itty-bitty God. See, you don't serve an itty-bitty God, so you can't have itty-bitty faith. You serve a great big God. You serve a God that hung the heavens and the stars. He created all of life, so you can't have itty-bitty faith when you're dealing with a great big God. But you got to have great big faith that says, God, whatever you're going to do, just speak the word and it'll be accomplished. I don't know how you're going to do it, but speak the word. Speak the word. I believe that you can speak the word and it'll be accomplished. I believe God can speak the word. And I choose, you have a choice. I choose to be when God. I choose to be a when God person. We've been praying for East and Nave, and I appreciate the prayers and keep them in your prayers. They're heading down to Tennessee to start the first round of chemotherapy, and they'll be down there for 2 to 3 weeks. And it's, I don't, I don't know. It's just God. I don't know how financially they need blessings, physically they need blessings, spiritually. I mean, they just need God. But when you talk to them, when they're going through this tragedy, this, I don't call it a tragedy because God's in it, but when they're going through this difficult time, every time you talk to them, it is a win God faith. We didn't get the report that we wanted to hear, but wow, that means God's going to do a bigger miracle. We don't know how he's going to do it, but man, how awesome whenever God does the work. And there's a call in this young man's life, and God's going to do something. And I choose to have a win God faith. I'm not defeated. You're not defeated. God is calling us to more. God has more for you. Where is your faith? If your faith will meet your need, God will show up every single day. Time. Faith makes Jesus marvel. There's one other passage in Scripture where we see Jesus marveled. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. It says, he went out from thence and came into his own country. Somebody say his hometown. And his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? What wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are brought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter? Is not this the son of Mary, the brother of James and of Joseph, of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? Isn't this just the carpenter? And the scripture says they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled at their unbelief. He was taken aback. He was astonished at their unbelief. He was overwhelmed and marveled at their unbelief. It's his hometown of Nazareth. It's where people know him. They know who he is, but yet they look at him and they say, the carpenter, with disdain. The son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judah, Simon. I mean, his sisters are here today. The scripture says that they were offended at him. They knew who he was, and they knew him. He wasn't anything special. He's just a carpenter. How dare he get up and speak these things? How dare he do these works? They were offended at what he did. They heard him speak wisdom. They saw him perform miracles, and they were offended. And because of their offense, the scripture says he couldn't do a mighty work that day. That means he had a plan to do something that we would preach about. 2,000 years later, we would talk about the miracles that he did today. There was miracles that he had scheduled that we did not get to see and talk about. We talk about lame men walking, the dead being raised, the blind eyes open. He had something else that we've never even experienced before. Maybe there would have been a hand that was grown back. Maybe there would have been I don't know what God could have done. But because of their unbelief, he could do no mighty work there, save for a few sick. They were offended at what he did. And their unbelief made Jesus marvel. He could not believe at their unbelief. I wonder if Jesus marvels at some of us who come to church. They sit and hear the preached word of God. They enjoy the fellowship of the saints. They sing the worship songs. They know all the Bible stories. And still, there's no zeal or desire for him. There's no desire to grow. There's no effort to put him first. There's no effort to surrender your will, to surrender your time, to surrender your finances. We just come, we know him, we're his hometown, we take him for granted. There's no faith that when the time gets rough, we will put our faith in Him and trust Him. He's looking back at all He's done for you. He's in heaven with the angels, looking at you, seeing every time He's brought you through, and yet you still stand facing a mountain, and you say, well, it's hopeless. This one's really big. Wow. Wow. And Jesus is standing there saying, but look at all the other mountains I brought you through. Look at all the other times I healed your body. Look at all the other times I did a miracle. And now you stand at this one with unbelief. And He marvels because He's done so much for us. But yet now we face the next hurdle. And it can't do it. I wish God would show up. I'm so alone. And He marvels and He says, where's your belief? Where's your faith in me? I've done so much for you. I've carried you. I've provided. Where's your faith? And He marvels at our unbelief. Unbelief makes Jesus marvel. Unbelief that He's not able to do above all we could ask or think. Unbelief that He is limited and He cannot work in your physical body. He can't touch your finances. He can't. My son's been out of church for too long. It's been past 5 years, and the rule that I've made up in my head that once it's 5 years, it's too long. Oh, lost. No. Jesus can still speak into your situation and do a miracle. There's no limit. There's no time. It doesn't matter how long you've been away. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus sees you. He wants to work in your life. Let's stand today. We've answered the question today, what makes Jesus marvel? But as we close, I have one more question to ask. Why does Jesus marvel at you? Has He seen that although you are an outsider, like the Gentile, like the Roman centurion, although you don't belong, you don't deserve His grace, you are not spiritual enough for God's love, you aren't perfect enough for forgiveness, whatever you're at, you're an outsider, but yet He marvels because you've been faithful, that even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of a trial, you've held strong to Him. You've been encouraged and you've trusted in Him. Or are we like the people of Nazareth? People who are so familiar with Him. You've seen Him move time after time after time. You know what a move of God looks like. You know what it feels like. You hit the right notes. You sing the right song. You pray. You do the minimum of 2 to 3 prayers for a person and you move on, and man, I did something today. Are we like the people of Nazareth, that we've grown complacent to Him and we overlook His faithfulness? How does God see you today? Does He get all of His angels' attention and have them see everything you face and yet you still stand for Him? Or does His heart break that He has been faithful time after time to you and yet you don't notice Him? He tries blessing, but nothing He could do is ever enough. We always will compare what we have to somebody else. We always will want more. We always will find ourselves in a negative situation. Let Nazareth be a warning to us that familiarity can breed resentment, can breed contempt, can breed unbelief. But let the centurion be a ray of hope that even the unlikeliest of us, even the ones that shouldn't get God's attention, God will marvel at you if you have faith in Him. That Roman had no qualifications. He hadn't been to church. He hadn't gone to a synagogue. But yet his faith made Jesus marvel. I choose to be faithful. I choose to make God marvel at my trust. I choose for Him to know that regardless of what life throws at me, still I will trust Him. Still I will be faithful. Still I will follow after Him. That's what I do today. As we close today, why don't we, right where you're at, just begin to lift your hands and let's just spend a moment in prayer. Come on. God's trying to encourage you today. God's trying to tell you today that you don't have to have a qualification for me to notice you. You don't have to have a qualification for your faith to arise. Come on, let some faith arise today. Come on, you've looked at a mountain for too long. You've been intimidated for too long. Let your faith arise today. Come on, stand up. Believe. Believe that God can just speak the word and it'll disappear. Believe that he's here. Believe that he's going to work today. In Jesus' name. 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 I'm going to open up the altar, and I'm going to invite every person that is comfortable. I'm going to invite everybody to come. Not if you need a need, not if you have something special. I'm not trying to signal anybody out. I'm going to invite everybody to come now, and I want us to spend just a few moments in prayer. If it's comfortable, even if it's not comfortable, I think it'd be good to step out in faith and just move a foot closer today. Come on, let's just come together as one church. As one body, and let's let our faith be elevated today. Come on, why don't you just pray, God, increase my faith right now. Increase my faith in what you're able to do. If you have a need today, today's a good time to say, God, just speak the word. God, enter into my home, enter into my heart, and speak the word, and it'll be done. My servant will be healed. And God saying, be it unto you according to your faith. Wherever your faith is at right now, that's where God is. That's where the miracle is. Let your faith be elevated right now. Let your faith in what God is able to do be exalted right now. Come on. I believe God is in this place, and I don't want to miss out on an opportunity. And I know we can go through the motions as well as anybody. We can come down, my wife singing, and it's a beautiful song. But I believe that God wants to do something in the supernatural today. So I'm going to push us one more time. I'm going to invite you just one more time. We're here. We made the effort. We're here. Why don't we just get what God has for us? If you have a need, I'm going to invite you. If you have a need, why don't you just lift up your hand? If you need God to do something in your life, just lift up your hand. There are needs all over this place. If you don't have your hand lifted, won't you find someone right now and let's begin to pray. Come on, let's begin to let our faith be exercised right now. Connect with somebody and pray a prayer of faith. You may not have prayer or have faith for your own situation, but believe that God can work in somebody else's situation. God, right now I pray in the name of Jesus. God, let there be faith that would arise here. I pray in the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. God, encourage somebody. God, they're fighting a fight that they cannot win on their own. God, let faith arise in this place. Lord, encourage somebody. God, speak the word into someone's heart to give to somebody else. God, let somebody encourage another person next to them. Oh, God, we need you right now to touch. We need you right now to lift somebody up. We need you right now to encourage somebody in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Well, that's it, church. Come on, let's just get God's presence here right now. You may not feel it yet, but we're going to feel a move of the Holy Ghost. Come on, push a little bit more. I know we're pressing. I know we're pressing, but God is on the other side of this push. His Holy Ghost is here right now, and he's pouring out a blessing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Come on. Come on. Let God begin to speak to you. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Where's your faith at right now? Is God marveling at unbelief?
Or does he see faith? Or does he notice that you believe? That he knows that you've been fighting battles. He knows that you've been struggling. He knows that you've been against it, but yet he sees faith. That's it. Come on, church. Come on, let's lift up our voice right now. Come on, let's begin to flow right now in the Holy Ghost. Begin to cry out to him. Come on, get some power behind your prayer. Come on, begin to lift that head up and realize that God is fighting your battle. Speak the word, God. Speak the word, God. Speak the word, and it's done. Speak the word, and it's done. God, lift our faith today. God, we're in a fight. We're marching. We're marching, Jesus, but you're touching. God, you're working. You're encouraging us today. Hallelujah. 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 God, we worship you. God, we praise you. God, we praise you. God, we praise you. Come on. If you're done praying with that person, won't you connect with somebody else? God is touching somebody right now. Be a part of what the Holy Ghost is trying to do. Surrender your will. I know we got lunch plans. I know we got a busy afternoon. I know we got stuff going on. But in this moment, in this place, somebody's life can be changed. God, somebody can get this faith, can get this nugget, can get this little bit of wisdom and be encouraged today. That's it. Right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let it flow. Let it flow right now. Oh, let the Holy Ghost lead you. Come on, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you got power. Oh, there's a power in your prayer. Don't pray a weak prayer. Pray a Holy Ghost-filled prayer. Pray a bold prayer. Pray a prayer that somebody needs to hear that will encourage them in the Holy Ghost. Speak something into their heart. That's it. Come on, why don't you, if you're not praying, why don't you just praise God? If you can't pray right now, praise God. Come on, lift up the name of Jesus. We need a touch of the Holy Ghost. We need God to move. God, we love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Oh, we lift you up today. Great is the name of the Lord. Great is the name of the Lord. You are great and greatly to be praised. You are holy. You are worthy, God. Oh, Holy One of Israel, which was, which is to come. God, I love you, Jesus. God, you're the fairest of 10,000. You're the lily of the valley. God, you're the rose of Sharon. God, you're the bright morning star. God, we worship you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
I believe that our faith has been lifted today. And I believe where this level of faith is, where this level of expectation is, Jesus will meet and surpass our need. I know we're past time where we typically get out, but I want to open it up one more time. If you have a need, if you would like to be prayed for and you have faith that God can work and touch today, I invite you to just lift up a hand. We want to pray with you. We're not trying to make it drawn out and a big deal, but I just want there to be a moment where you get what you need, where your need is met because of your faith, because of the faith of the church. If there's anybody, no pressure, but I just want somebody to get a touch of the Holy Ghost. I just want somebody to leave this place free, free of bondage, free of pain, free of difficulty, free of anything. In Jesus' name. Want some of the ladies, let's just gather around Sister Angie right there. Let's just pray. We want to pray for Sister Angie. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Let's just all turn our attention right there. Come on. Let's just pray and lift up Brother Mike and Sister Angie. Come on, there's a need there. Brother Mike's had a job situation that he needs God to touch. Why don't some of the men gather around Brother Mike right now? Come on, we believe. Come on, the words that we're preaching, the words that we're speaking, God's word, we believe that he's going to work. Touch Brother Mike right now. He's been faithful. God, give him a faith and a belief that you are going to work. God, I pray that you would marvel at the duels right now. Marvel at their faithfulness. God, you are a restorer. God, you can touch. You can work right now. Whatever you need, Jesus, you are able to do. God, do the work in the name of Jesus. Strengthen. God, strengthen. Strengthen in the name of Jesus, we pray. Touch them right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. God, elevate our faith today. Elevate our faith in what you're able to do. God, are you God or not? If we believe that you're God, we believe that you can touch. If we believe that you're God on the throne, we believe that you can heal. We believe that you can work out job situations. We believe, Jesus. We believe, God. In Jesus' name. 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 Is there any other needs we can pray for as a church? This is a safe place. This isn't a calling you out place. This is a safe place. This is a body of Christ. This is what we do. Amen. 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 Let's just one more time. Let's just thank God for what he did today in this place. God, we thank you, Lord. We glorify you. We praise you today. We give you glory and honor for what you did. You are faithful. God, we thank you, Lord. Continue to encourage us. Continue to elevate our faith. Help us, Lord, to walk with you today. God, this week, God, let us not have unbelief. I pray against unbelief. I pray against doubt. I pray against worry. Jesus, remove that and replace it with faith and what you're able to do. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.